Church of La Mesa. My name is Connor. I serve here as the associate pastor. I want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service of lessons and carols. And also want to give you the reminder that tomorrow morning here at 9:30, we have our regularly scheduled Sunday morning worship. We want to invite you back for that. And then a point of order as well is that we will not be having our evening worship tomorrow. So again, we want to make sure that you know that 9:30 here tomorrow morning, we are having worship, and we want to warmly welcome you and invite you to that. Other than that, I ask that we can prepare our hearts for worship of the prelude play, and then I will call us into worship after the choral introit.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
To the light of the world.
heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Amen. People of God, let us rise this evening as we are called into worship. Our call to worship is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, and this is a responsive reading. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. As we open up this evening with our first congregational hymn, you can turn to hymnal number 115 as we all together sing All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
Amen. Let us join our hearts together in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we have joined together this evening to remember the hope that only you could provide for us in the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Due to our sin and rebellion against you, it was necessary that Christ would be born in fulfillment to your word, to save a people for yourself, and to save your people ultimately through his death upon the cross. As we have gathered this evening, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, that we might see our need for the Savior that you provide for us in the Lord Jesus, and the great hope that his life provides. For it is only through him that we may be saved. He is our only hope in this life and in the life to come. And we pray all of this in the hope given in that name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we turn to our first scripture reading this morning, we turn to the opening pages of the Bible in Genesis and picking up here in chapter 3, and we read this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I had commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Thus far, the reading of God's word.
first thing which I do relate is that God did man create. The next thing which to you I'll tell, woman was made with man to dwell.
And we were heirs to endless woes, till God the
season of the year, our blessed Redeemer did appear. He here did live and here did preach, and many thousands he did teach.
Thus he in love to us behaved, to show
second scripture lesson comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, once more from chapter 9. Beginning in verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Moving from Genesis to then Isaiah, we pick up now in our third scripture reading in the Gospel of Luke, looking here at chapter 1, verses 26 and following. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
My Lord and Savior is my song.
Picking up in chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, we hear in these opening verses this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first generation when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Continuing Luke's gospel here in chapter 2, we pick up in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told. As we continue on, let us stand for our next congregational hymn, hymn number 223, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks." Let us sing together. And you may be seated. As we come to our sixth scripture reading this evening, we turn to Matthew's gospel here. We pick up in chapter 2 as we look at verses 1 through 12. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Last one had a little bit of beat. I didn't think you were completely asleep, so it's good to be here with you tonight, and Merry Christmas to you as we spend a few moments here considering God's Word. We've read quite a few passages tonight, and my thoughts come from those passages, so I won't do a separate scripture reading at this time. But I want us, as we consider what we celebrate this time of year, to think about it in three things for tonight. Is one, that God made people. Two, people rebelled. And so thirdly, God made himself a redeemer. The title in the bulletin there for you is How God Made a Redeemer. And we want to start thinking about that by going back to just before our first scripture reading, which was Genesis 3, to Genesis 1 and 2, where God made people. And he made Adam first, and there were no other people. There were no models, there were no kits, there were nothing like that. God shaped Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The first person ever, brand spanking new. And then God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And kids, if your mom has ever traveled out of town, you know that that is very true, that it's never good for a man to be left alone. It's okay to laugh. You don't have to wait till after Christmas. It is a season of joy, supposedly, except maybe in here tonight. So God caused the man to sleep. And he reached in and he took a rib. And then he fashioned a woman from the dust of the ground and breathed into her nostrils the breath of life. And there you had it. From just using one man, God made a second person. Eve, the mother of all living, as she would come to be known. Our first parents, God made them. And then through them, he made all of us. Isn't that amazing? Genetics really is an amazing study. God made people. And in those moments where there was just Adam and Eve, they had perfect love. They had a perfect life. They had perfect fellowship, relationship with each other and with God himself. It's nearly impossible for our brains to comprehend what it would be like to have perfect relationship even with one another, the people that we can see, let alone with God himself, who we cannot see. But then those first two people decided to take things into their own hands. They wanted to be like their maker. They wanted to be like God. And so they rebelled. They rebelled. God had said, here's the whole garden. It's perfect. You can have any tree that you want to eat, but of this one tree, this was a test for them. It was part of that covenant, that relationship that God established with them. Would they obey? Would they not obey? Well, the suspense is kind of killed because we know that they did not obey. They disobeyed. And immediately, humanity was plunged from that pinnacle of creation, that perfection, that great joy, that perfect relationship, down into darkness and depravity and sinfulness and crankiness and sin and death. All of it. Immediately, we start to see it in Adam and Eve's relationship as Adam has gone from, behold, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You can imagine that moment when Adam saw Eve for the first time and he immediately waxed poetic. He probably pulled out a guitar like a lot of college guys do and he started singing her this song. And he goes from that to, God, it's this woman you gave me. It's her fault. I know none of you men in here struggle with that, but it's easy to think, boy, if I would have just chosen better, boy, if I would have waited for her to mature, we blame each other. Eve blames the serpent, a little more believable, as that was the devil himself. But man, immediately they're plunged into this brokenness, this darkness. And as God used Adam and Eve to make more people, the earth began to be filled with wickedness. But in the midst of that fall, God made a promise. And it was a promise that Pastor Connor read earlier tonight. which is the first telling of the good news of the gospel, Genesis 3:15, where God looked at our enemy and he said, the seed of the woman will come. And you're going to nip at his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And that's a promise that God saw fit in his own time to fulfill. And as more people are made and the earth fills with more and more sin, and the reading from Isaiah, we heard that people were walking in darkness. What a great description of people left to themselves. But then that great light was seen. And what is that great light? That was seen was the promise, the fulfillment of that promise that God made back in Genesis 3. That the seed of the woman would come. Then the promise that came from God again in Isaiah, that the virgin would conceive. And this sounds all weird and strange. How does that happen? See, God had made a person with no people. He had made a person with just a man. And he made billions, trillions of people perhaps even, with a man and a woman. But never before had God made a person with just a woman. But then the angel came to Mary and informed her that God himself, God the Son, would use her to take to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. God would come in the flesh. See, it wasn't enough for Jesus to just be a divine being, because he had to be human to live out the faithfulness and obedience that we and our first parents could not. And it wasn't just enough for him to be a human being, because all the other human beings that had been made before that point could not keep the covenant that God had made and would be crushed under the wrath of God against our sin. And so God saw fit to fulfill this promise of the seed of the woman, that God would use just a woman for one person to be born. Distinct and separate from all other people, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And because he came, because he obeyed, because he then died and was raised again, we can be redeemed. See, I don't have to tell you of the reality of sin. You know your own heart and mind. You know the thoughts that you have had today that if the other people sitting in the pew knew, would be horrified that you would think such a thing. But if you've been at Target at any point in the last 48 hours, or tried to wrap up all of your Christmas shopping, or tried to get that last thing on the shelf, or maybe even just sitting in the silence and quiet of your own house, have realized, boy, I can think some very bad things. I can desire some very bad things. I can want things that I know are completely wicked and vile. See, I don't have to tell you the reality of sin. And that's just in your own heart, let alone the headlines that we read, let alone the lack of total peace on earth. It seems the lack of, at times, any peace on earth. Sin is real, that came from that rebellion. But you know what is also real is the Redeemer that came. The God-man, the seed of the woman, the son of the virgin, the Redeemer of mankind, of all humanity that belonged to him. So this Christmas, don't just see the Christ child in the manger. See the God-man. See the Redeemer. That one who came in that distinctly unique way. Not just so we could have some holiday. Not so that we could just have some tinsel and presents. But so that we could have eternal life. So turn to him. Trust him. Rest in him. He is the most perfect gift and he gave his life for you. Let's stand and turn to hymn number 218. As we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Father, with great joy and delight, we receive the gift of Christ. How wonderful it is to know that he came, fulfilling that promise of the seed of the woman, fulfilling that promise of a virgin who would conceive, with a child not made by man, but a child who would be the Son of God himself, indeed the eternal God the Son. And how incredible it is for us, by turning to him in faith, we can receive forgiveness of sins, we can receive eternal life, and we are made sons and daughters of the Most High, the living and true God. Father, bless each one in this time of Christmas as we celebrate the coming of your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. And now, friends, at the close of this time of worship, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you true, eternal, and lasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.